Jesus always knew what to say and when to say it. And get this, he made a promise. I'll help you know what to say and when to say it. Today we're going to talk about that. What do you say when you don't know what to say? Let's learn from Jesus today. I want you to take your Bible open with me to the book of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 in just a moment. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. We're talking about what do you say when you don't know what to say. We are in the middle of a study called Bingeworthy, where we're binging on the life of Jesus. We're learning from Jesus as much as we can. And we have been in the period of time we've called the ministry years. And during Jesus' ministry years, one of the things that he is known for is being a teacher. And so we've looked at different facets of Jesus' teaching. Now, as we've looked at Jesus, the teacher, our objective hasn't been to kind of look at all that Jesus taught, but more so look at how he taught. Because if we notice how Jesus taught, it will help us become better stewards of our own words so that we can be more impactful in what we have to say to people. And so today we're going to lean in and we're going to notice how Jesus has this ability to say what needs to be said. Now again, we've all had these moments. Maybe someone has looked at you and given you the report. They've gotten a bad health report and they're kind of, you know, help me, encourage me. Maybe somebody looks at you and asks you a question, you know, why is it that the church doesn't seem to support, you know, transgender community? We've all had these moments where whether questions are asked or things are said and we kind of feel a pause. I'm not sure what to say. And so to that, Jesus makes the promise that we're going to read. I will help you know what to say. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, we find Jesus teaching a pretty massive crowd. It says it was so crowded that people were kind of stepping on each other. And as Jesus faced this large crowd, he starts to teach them a number of important lessons. So in chapter 12, he's going to talk about hypocrisy. He's going to talk about being a people pleaser, being more caring about what people think instead of what God thinks. He's also going to talk about being a closet believer, the type of person that doesn't want to live your faith out in the open. And at the conclusion of this teaching set that Jesus offers, he comes to verses 11 and 12. And he addresses these moments in life and we don't know what to say. Look at verse 11. It says, "And when you are brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities," in other words, where there's religious hearings or maybe even legal kind of indictments, don't worry. You don't have to worry about how to defend yourself or what to say. Notice verse 12, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said." Notice that. The Holy Spirit will teach you what needs to be said. Now, this isn't the only time we find Jesus saying something like this. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this, "When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond to or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time." Mark 13, 11, "But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time, for it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And then again in Luke, at the end of Luke, he circles back around to this. "So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you." So evidently, this issue of what to say when we don't know what to say is so important to Jesus that he repeated it with some regularity. Now, on the one hand, when we look at this passage, we can say conclusively, like the focal point of what Jesus was saying is that there will be moments when some of his followers are going to be required to give like a reasoned account for their faith. And Jesus says, if you appear before religious hearings, if you appear before court indictments, having to give an account of your faith, don't worry. I will tell you in those moments what to say. And then when we read the book of Acts, it's like we read it in real time. We see where what Jesus promised comes to pass, as there are several believers who have to give an account of their faith before these legal proceedings, and Jesus gives them exactly what needs to be said. Now, when you read church history, you also see remarkable moments where people are put on the spot and they say profound things that they have not prepared. I think about Martin Luther when during the Reformation period and how he was making a defense of the gospel and he was put in a position of having to kind of be on trial for his conviction that was like so weird at the time that you believe in the scripture and that you believe God saves you by grace through faith. Now, we kind of go, well, yeah. But in the moment, they're like, the church was against that. And Luther stood up for that. And they called him to account. And history notes that Luther standing there, with the consequences being great, he just made a simple confession. Here I stand. I can do no other. And just that simple, profound commitment to the gospel fueled the Reformation. Or I think about not necessarily in a trial setting, but like a difficult setting. A man by the name of David Wilkerson was a young pastor in the 1950s. He read an article in Life magazine that talked about gangs in New York. And this young pastor decided, you know what, I think they need the gospel. And so he just moves to New York City to start sharing the gospel with street gangs. Now, I guess the only way for us to appreciate that would be like if one of you guys were to go, you know, I feel like ISIS needs the gospel. And you just decide you're going to go to the Middle East and just show up at an ISIS gathering and give them the gospel. That's about the same boldness that would be required. Wilkerson goes into the streets in the 1950s and just starts sharing Christ with these street gangs. And one of them was in particular very, very violent. And so Wilkerson was kind of standing in front of the leader of that gang sharing Christ, and that gang leader popped a switchblade and said, "Preacher, I'm going to cut you up." And Wilkerson in the moment, remember, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. You don't have to be prepared ahead of time. When you don't know what to say, the Spirit will tell you what to say. And David Wilkerson, standing there in front of a switchblade, said, "Yes, and when you do, every bloody piece of me from the pavement will cry out, Jesus loves you." Later on, that gang leader became a follower of Jesus and said it was that simple, brave boldness that just said, "Every piece of me will cry out, Jesus loves you." It got a hold of his heart. And so the Holy Spirit's promise here is that he will supply what we need to say in any situation. Now, I am clearly aware of the context. Yes, it's driven more by an issue of persecution or legal defense of faith. But does that mean this is not accessible to us when we find moments where we don't know what to say that God can speak to us? One of the great pastors over the last 30 years, John Piper, contemplating this question and this passage, writes this: "Most of us in the West have not yet encountered that kind of official arraignment for being a follower of Jesus. Does that mean that this promise has no application to us? No, it does apply to us. For if the Holy Spirit will help us in the most frightening settings, how much more may we depend on him in less threatening situations?" He goes on to write, "I would like to encourage you to enjoy this particular experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit promised by our Lord Jesus. One of the reasons I want you to enjoy this particular work of the Holy Spirit is that I have found it so true and amazing and precious in my own life." Listen, in a variety of circumstances where we find ourselves needing something to say, the promise of Jesus is, "I will help you know what to say." Now, how does this work? Well, if you're taking notes, here's the first thing that you want to recognize of how this process works of God helping us with what to say is it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us know what to say. Listen, when you become a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God takes up home in our hearts. Now, last week we talked about the heart being the inner person. And so when you become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes our inner person his home. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I like the way the Message Bible phrases this. God himself has taken up residence in your life. And in John chapter 16, Jesus taught extensively on the role of the Holy Spirit, that he would not only be with us and he would comfort us and help us, but he also would be a guide to us. And so it's the role of the Holy Spirit who lives in us to guide us in these moments and to help us know what it is we need to say. A celebrated pastor and author Chuck Swindoll writing about this very thing. And whenever you have these kind of moments happen, do we need to have like a speech prepared so that we know what to say? He says, listen, don't think you have to be prepared. Simply speak from the heart. Because the Holy Spirit lives there, he will enable you to say what needs to be said. This is how the promise works. The Holy Spirit enables us to be able to say what needs to be said. Now listen, we're not mindless funnels where we're just kind of an empty pipe where God kind of uses us like a puppet. That's not how it works. How it works is the Holy Spirit will kind of inspire some thoughts. Some things will come to our mind. And as those things come to our mind, then it's up to us to give voice to those things that come to our mind and to speak those words. And so it's a very interactive process between us and the Holy Spirit. So that, listen, whatever it is that we sense or that we think God is giving us to say, our obligation is just give voice to that. And trust that that's what needs to be said. Now, here's a second important thing for us, because many of us are very hesitant about doing that because of the fear of not getting it right. Perfection. But it is not our goal to say things perfectly, but to say things obediently. The Holy Spirit's going to inspire thoughts. He's working interactively with us so that we can give voice to the thoughts that we have. But we don't have to be held hostage and say, well, I want to get it perfect. No, you're not going to get it perfect. And you don't have to get it perfect. You just have to be obedient. I appreciate this, again, coming back to Piper, his candid confession. I think you'll identify with this. I do. I am often frustrated that I did not say things better. I could kick myself at times for letting some unhelpful comment come out of my mouth. Sometimes I feel stupid for not remembering an obvious verse of Scripture that would have been proven, would have made a perfect point to be made. Now, we can all feel that way, can't we? Like, I missed it. I should have thought better. But we have to remind ourselves in those moments, kind of the after moments, we have to remind ourselves it's not the goal to say it perfectly. Just say it obediently. That's it. Listen, maybe in your Christian experience, you've read the Bible with enough regularity, and you've come across, there is a gift mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, a gift of tongues. You ever read that? A gift of tongues. Well, I think there might be another gift that's just not mentioned in the New Testament, but it's probably there, which is a gift of ears. And the gift of ears is the enabling process of the Holy Spirit to take what is said and almost kind of remix it in the moment to make sure it goes through our ears in the right way so that we hear what we need to hear. A gift of ears. It happens to me all the time. People will say, you know when you said, and then they'll And I'll go, never said it. That never came out of my mouth. I've never even had that thought before. But they're like, oh, you remember when you said? You remember when you said? Well, how do I explain that? It's the gift of ears, right? It's the Holy Spirit taking whatever was said and then moving it through some process so that we're hearing something that we need to hear. That doesn't make us sloppy. It's not like we have permission just to say whatever we want to say and just get off our chest whatever we want to get off our chest. We're saying as carefully as we can, but we don't operate under the burden of perfection. We just say it obediently. I was reminded of this week in our community group. Revelation chapter 8 has such an interesting picture of prayer. You know, Revelation has so much symbolism. And in Revelation 8, there's this incredible picture of prayer where it says, then I saw another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Click. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed and lightning flashed and there was a terrible earthquake. And if you follow that narrative, it's giving us a picture of like what happens in heaven as people pray. That the prayers of God's people go up. And as those prayers go up, they are mixed with incense. What's the incense? That's the favor of God and the wisdom of God. So the prayers go up. There's this mixing of the prayers with the incense, the wisdom and the favor of God. Then it goes to the altar where that thing is purged and purified. Have you ever prayed for something, but you're pretty sure you didn't pray for it right? Huh? Maybe you didn't even know the right words to pray, but you prayed. It goes up, it gets mixed with God's favor and God's wisdom, and then it goes to the altar and it's purged, and from that altar then God takes it and then he makes things happen. It's the same way in some respect. When we are obedient to just say what we think God is moving us to say in the moment, God takes that and he mixes it with his favor and his blessing, and he purges it and he passes it through the gift of ears, so that people start hearing what they need to hear. One more Piperism for the day. He says, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is edifying success. We're speaking, not perfectly, but obediently, and the Holy Spirit is edifying success. This sounds a lot like what the Lord told one of his prophets in Isaiah 55:11. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. So the key for us is to lay hold of the promise that when we are in situations when we don't know what to say, that Jesus will help us through the Holy Spirit to have thoughts that are moving along the pattern of God's thoughts, and then we give voice to it. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be obedient, and then we'll trust that God will give it, you know, like the gift of ears, and that person will hear what they need to hear. Now, let's break down this process just a little bit more just to help us, because today I really want it to be very practical, very pragmatic. So how in the world can we participate in this process? Well, the first thing is we've got to learn, listen, to wait on God. Let God say something about this situation, and then we just say whatever God said. All right? Now, that sounds like, duh. But sometimes that's what we need to be reminded of. You just got to listen. When you're in that situation and somebody's kind of asking a question, what do you know about, or what should I do, or whatever else, we're just quick to go, we just jump in there. We don't like silence. We don't like the awkwardness. We don't like a pause. But one of the best things we can learn to do is when we're in a situation, we're not sure exactly what to say, listen, is just pause and listen. What is God saying? What is He revealing? And when we can just say what God says. Hey, this is exactly what Jesus described that He did. John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. For I have not come, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has Himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that this is His commandment in its eternal life. So what I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So the principle is to pause and then to listen and speak. Let me tell you something, parent. If you're a parent in the room, this is one of the most important things for you to learn, because we've got some fragile little humans that God has given and entrusted to our care to shape and mold and direct. And how many times we are quick to speak into a situation and just say whatever we feel. Man, I would just encourage you to learn the discipline of just pause. And what is Jesus saying about my child in this moment? Let me just say what Jesus says in that moment. Pause and listen and repeat. Some of you took a course years ago called Experiencing God. Anybody remember that? Experiencing God. And in that course, here's what we were taught to do, is find out where God is at work and join Him. It was like a life-changing principle. Find out where God is at work and join Him. Instead of going, hey, God, come over here and join us what we're doing. Find out where God is at work and join Him. In a very real sense, what we're saying with waiting on God with what we have to say is find out what God is saying and join Him. Listen, pause and wait, and then say what God is saying. Here's a second principle to help us in this process, and that is to observe what is happening in the moment and then just point to what is being revealed. How do we do this? Well, one thing, pause, wait, listen on God. Another thing is just be observant to what's happening in the moment, because something might be revealed in that very moment that you can point to and go, here's what God is saying. So you got to be observant. Remember when Jesus is speaking this verse 12, He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you, let me repeat these words, at that time. So we're learning to be observant in the moment to see what is happening, because God may be revealing something in the moment. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's where Jesus is teaching a bunch of underserved and marginalized people sitting on a hillside who are hurting and desperate and needy. And that's who Jesus is teaching. And as they're sitting outdoors on a hillside, and Jesus is addressing needy people who are pressing into Jesus to say, help us! Notice how Jesus teaches in that moment. Look at the birds. Now, where is He? He's outside on a hillside. Teaching people who are just bent out. Is God going to come through? Look at the birds. Look at these wildflowers. If God's taking care of all that, you don't think He loves you more than that? Now that's Jesus teaching in the moment, just taking the cues from what is God doing in the moment. I tell you, about a year ago, we were in, or maybe 2 years ago, we were in Israel at this very spot where this is happening. The Sermon on the Mount is happening. And our guide has this prepared speech to kind of tell us all about the Beatitudes and Jesus' teaching on that day. And we're standing under some trees, and above us is a flock of birds who are chirping so loudly that you can't hardly hear the guide, who is super annoyed that the birds are drowning out his prepared speech. And he's angry. You sense it. He's just angry. He just kind of keeps looking at the birds. And somebody in our group just kind of pointed out in the moment, wait. Hasn't this happened before? And drew everybody's attention to this is the very place where Jesus pointed out that God cares even for birds. Now, let me tell you something. Nobody on our tour can remember any of that annoying speech that our guide prepared. But I guarantee you, there is not a person on that tour who forgot that moment where they connected with the fact that this is the very place where Jesus said God cares for you and pointed to birds, and we could hear the birds all over again, and we were all reminded in that moment, man, God cares for us. So part of learning to do this is learning to just be observant to what is happening in the moment. One of my favorite quotes of all time, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the whole earth is ablaze with the glory of God, but only those with eyes to see take off their shoes. He's talking all the time, all around us. Take notice. Because sometimes the very thing that you need to say, God's already saying right there in that moment. You just got to point to it. Here's another thing to learn to do when you're trying to figure out this process. What do I say when I don't know what to say? Pause and wait, look around you, but also you can ask questions. Number three, ask questions. Jesus was a master of asking questions. Martin Koppenheimer, in his new book called 307 Questions, Jesus asked 307 questions, and he writes in his book, contrary to popular opinion, Jesus wasn't the ultimate answer man. He was more the great questioner. Here's some of the top questions that Jesus asked. I think these are some of the questions that you can find helpful and resourceful when you're in a moment and you don't know what to say. You can ask questions. You know? What do you believe in right now? Jesus asked that question. I mean, do you want to see things get better? Jesus asked that question. But why are you worried about this? Jesus asked that question. And I think the last question on the list is one of the most important that you can kind of put in your pocket when you don't know what to say is, what do you want me to do for you? What would you like to see happen? Sometimes when you don't know what to say, asking a question is so profound because it allows that person to be more specific, to talk a little bit more. And even sometimes, you know this is true because it's true for us, sometimes we are more prone to lean in a direction when it's our idea. And sometimes asking a question just gives someone enough space where they can just talk a little bit, and pretty soon they kind of come up with their own solution. So Jesus asked questions. Here's the fourth, the final thing. How do we process this? How do we get some practical help of what to do when we don't know what to say? Number four is key, which is sometimes no answer isn't a bad answer. Sometimes no answer isn't a bad answer. Sometimes we're in a moment, we don't know what to say, and maybe there's nothing that needs to be said. And sometimes there's a gift to just simply the ministry of presence. I don't know. But man, I'm here. Why? How? What? When? I don't know. But man, I'm here for you. I guess maybe it's because of my profession. But there are times I feel incredibly responsible to have to come up with something to say to someone that either like answers all their life questions or fixes their problems in the moment. But I just feel this crazy pressure sometimes when someone says something. So maybe this message is just more for me than anybody else in the room, but I just feel this. I don't know. I don't know what to say, but I own this pressure to come up with something. And this past week in our Bible reading plan, Hebrews 13 spoke to me on this. It's the blessing towards the very end of Hebrews that's offered, where God spoke to me about this, because sometimes no answer is okay. What do I say when I don't want to say? Sometimes it's okay not to say anything. May He equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to Him. All glory to Him forever and ever. Amen. Look what He says. I will give you what you need for every good work. Listen to that. I will give you what you need for every good work, and I will produce in you what is needed. So God says, I will give to you, or I will produce in you everything you need to do that good work. So listen. If God hadn't given it to us, or hasn't produced it within us, it's not our work to do. And it's okay to take a pass. That was great freedom for me this week. To hear Jesus say to me, you know what, sometimes I haven't given you a word to say. So hush your mouth. Yes, sir. God wants us to be his eyes, his ears, his voice. And so a lot of times in these moments, we have something we need to say, and we listen. The Holy Spirit will lead us in what to say. That's His job. And whatever He inspires us to say, we say. We don't have to say it perfectly. We just got to say it obediently. Sometimes we can figure out what we say. Just ask a few questions. It might even be that it's not ours to say. And we're just going to be there for you. But I don't have anything. What I love about that blessing at the end of Hebrews is it takes us back to the fact that ultimately at the end, it's not about me being smart enough to know what to say in the moment. Or for somebody to kind of, woo, that was impressive. Hebrews nails it. It's all about in the end, the glory of God. And so God wants to use us in a moment where maybe we speak into it, maybe we don't, but whatever we do, it just draws people's attention back to the Lord. That's your source. That's what you need more than anything, is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.